What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Aftermath Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Tenpenny, joined by my co-host, CJ Jones. CJ, the preseason's over, my man. Next one counts.
The hay is in the barn, Chris. It's time to work. Let's get it, man.
Said every high school coach last Thursday before high school football kicked off. The hay is in the barn. I just remember that being sold all the time. And it's exciting. This is always everyone's kind of a little bit like we're hammering the same things over and over again just because we're waiting for real football to count that we don't even know what to do with ourselves anymore. Yes, so that's what I'm most excited about to get through is actually have some real action to talk about. But there is some things we need to clean up. And before we get into today's topics, I did just want to shout out everyone. I appreciate you guys listening to us on Spotify and Apple. We love the support. I just want to throw out there's a new place to see our smiling faces. Please check us out on YouTube at the KC Sports Authority. Those guys do some great jobs, especially good for you Jayhawk fans out there. They've got some great Jayhawk content. They're adding us in to throw some Chiefs content down on their page. So please go check them out. Check out our stuff. Check out their stuff there. And you get to see our smiling faces, which, you know, it's always a plus, especially CJ's handsome mug over there.
Nah, it's all about Chris, guys, not me. He's the one doing all the work. I just talk. I just show up.
Oh, man, you do the great talking. But enough about the technical side of this. Let's get right into the preseason game three. I know these are hard to talk about, but we gotta get with the preseason wrap up. Anything you can take away from that last game, a game that Mahomes and Kelce don't play in?
Everyone was healthy. That's the biggest takeaway for me, Chris. Guys, some guys played well. Some guys made their name, tried to make a stamp. And like Andy said, if you don't make the team here, you'll get an opportunity somewhere else. But to see guys like Amir Smith-Marset make plays in the open field and see guys like Michael Pirine make plays in the open field as well, that's very encouraging to see because we want to have depth at every position, especially at your skill players, because those are the most important as far as when it comes to making plays. But we know where the foundation of this team is built, like Chris said. It starts with 15 and 87 and arguably the best offensive line in the league. And the defense is obviously going to have their growing pains as well, because we know usually how a Spags season goes. But maybe that learning curve is a little shorter this year just because you have a lot of guys coming back and upgrade in certain rooms on the defensive side of the ball. But overall, I'm just happy to hear no major injuries. I'm happy to see everyone's going to be ready for week one on Thursday versus the Detroit Lions, Chris. That's the biggest takeaway for me. So.
Yeah, that's like it's kind of crazy, like how few injuries have really been.
I know, right?
Happened to, like, you know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, do all the stuff you got to do, but like, you know, you got Snead, who we really haven't talked about much. Got Tony, which was expected, and then now that Pacheco's back, I mean, that's really on the injury front. The only major news is those guys right there, and it sounds like at least if. We don't know if Tony's going to play in week one, but it sounds like he's on a track to where at least it's going to be, he's going to play early, whether it's week one, week two, you know, that's positive. Again, I would love to hear more on Snead. It's kind of weird how little information is out on a guy that's as prolific, as important to this team as Legarius Snead is. But I mean, I guess it seems like all things are going to be okay as you know, I guess. I don't even really know what to say about it. Have you ever had a player like this, like with this little information on their injury?
They're definitely playing it close to the vest. I can't think of anybody this impactful up to date that comes to mind, but I guess the only encouraging thing is from the photos and the videos I've seen of the clips of practice, he's there at practice with his jersey on, just like Chris said, not necessarily involved or actually practicing. But the fact that he's there walking around, high-fiving guys, encouraging them, shows you something that you can also be like somewhat encouraged about. Because if he wasn't at practice, Chris, then I would be a little bit concerned. Like, is he getting treatment? Is he not able to stand on his feet? So if he's able to stand for a 2-3 hour practice, not necessarily a full game speed, we know that. But if he's out there being involved, being engaged and getting mental reps, then like me and Chris said on our previous show, if he comes to game week this time next week and he's ready to go and he's practicing, I think all that concern was for nothing. But like Chris said, it is something to pay attention to for sure. You definitely want to see him with a helmet on, but as long as he's there and he's staying locked in mentally, Chris, that's the biggest thing for me.
Right. And he's missed time in the past. And again, we trust the secondary depth maybe more than any other position on this team. For sure. Just because of how they're able to seemingly find guys and do well. And, you know, with McDuffie, Watson and Williams, three guys that had to play a lot last year, coming in the second year, like absolutely. Obviously Snead's the guy, but you can definitely weather that storm if it becomes something more. The only other thing really to talk about the preseason game, I feel like, well, maybe there's a couple. Then we can get into wide receivers, which has been nonstop talk. But the quarterback battle, I've been a big Shane Buechele guy. Took a big hit. Took a big hit. And I think he pretty much lost that. Safe to say he lost the job. When you're already from behind, you can't have a game. Gabbert could have had a game like that, and still no one would have questioned if he was the number two. Facts. You can't be trying to take a man they spend a couple million on's job and go and perform like that against the Cleveland Browns. And so not looking so good for my man Buechele on for that backup position.
He didn't execute the Pacheco game plan and take a grown man's job. He tried to, and we appreciate Shane for giving it the old puncher's chance. But, yeah, that first half was pretty rough. I was at the game, and I literally went to go get something to drink. I came back and he threw another interception. I'm like, Jesus Christ, does he want us to lose today? And then of all people, it was funny, he threw it to Juan Thornhill.
I know, right?
Poetic justice. So it was the worst guy he could have thrown it to. So,
dude, I loved Juan getting that pick six, honestly. Like, it was perfect because it was so in funny. Guy that's one of the few guys that was on both Super Bowl winning teams. Right. You know, it was a game that didn't mean anything. He got to do the chop and the love sign with no repercussions. Like, it didn't matter. Like, it was kind of a perfect situation for Juan Thornhill. And as you know, anyone who's been listening to this podcast, you know me and CJ are both big Juan stans. And so I kind of enjoyed seeing that a little bit.
No, Juan's a good guy. You can see the clip after the game, like Trent and all the DBs were just mobbing him, saying, bro, you had to pick it on us, really? Of all teams, you had to get a pick six. It had to be us. So that's definitely a good moment for him. And, you know, we all miss Juan Thornhill and definitely appreciate everything he's done for the team. But no, that was definitely a – not such a good moment for Shane. And Shane bounced back and had a couple good plays after that and tried to follow up. And then it was just kind of like an ebbs and flows thing. Like, some guys made some good throws, and then we had some drops in the game as well. And I know you don't tend to overreact to everything in preseason, but unfortunately, like Chris said, it's the only thing we can talk about right now. So, but we are a week and a half away from real football, so we won't have to do this for too much longer. So,
right. Yeah, man. It's going to be a long 10 days, 9.5 days, whenever you're listening to this. But the last thing to talk about the preseason, I think it kind of goes in with our next topic in the roster cuts, is the wide receiver depth. I don't know. I think I know where you and I stand, because we've kind of been on this from the get-go, that we have our seven. But there are a couple guys that have made it interesting. Do you think there's going to be any change in the wide receiver once we see final roster? Or do you think it's like, again, auditioning for those other teams?
Yeah, I think the seven that we've pretty much been saying the whole camp is probably going to be the final seven that makes the roster. It's also going to be a big moment because Andy Reid has never kept seven receivers on his
roster.
It's usually six without a couple of guys on practice squad. So if he does decide to do seven, which the roster cuts come out Tuesday, I think 4 o'clock Eastern time. Mm-hmm. So it'll be 3 o'clock for Kansas City Central time. So I expect the seven to be the normal guys we've said all year. Kadarius Toney, MVS, Sky, Justin Watson, Richie James, Rashee Rice, and your favorite boy, Justin Ross. So that's the seven we expect it to be. And obviously, I want to give Amir Smith Mercedes flowers. He balled out, had a hell of a game, really had a hell of a preseason. And we didn't even get to see Nicky Aramihio finish the preseason as well, who played very well in New Orleans. So
shout out to Cornell Powell, too. He had a good it wasn't as flashy, but he had a good preseason as well.
It was just a little too – it's crazy because we were so hyped with him when we got him, like, what, 3 years ago? So just too little too late for all these other guys coming in making plays. So, but, no, that just showed you the depth of this team and guys putting in the work during training camp. And credit to Andy, credit to Nagy, getting all these guys involved and getting them prepared and ready to go. So even if they're not able to play in Kansas City, like Chris said, they'll definitely have a chance to make – a roster outside of the Chiefs. So you have plenty of opportunities. We have what? We got Peterson in Jacksonville. We got Kafka in New York. We got Bieniemy in D.C. We got Ryan Poles, our old office guy in Chicago. So that's four teams right there that'll be available. They'll definitely have their phones ringing for sure when Tuesday comes. I know Amir talked about it after the Browns game. It's a nerve-wracking 24 hours because there's really nothing you can do now. So, and you kind of think in your head, like, what could or couldn't happen. So try to prepare for the worst, I guess. Pray for the best, prepare for the worst, I guess. That's all you can do at this point. So
that is all you can do. And, like, how much of it, though, like, just to play devil's advocate, that's what I like to do, is how much of it is, like, the Chiefs system? Because let's be honest about it. Like, DeMarcus Robinson's on, like, his fifth team. Brian Pringle left in Chicago for a year, and he's gone. Marcus Kemp just got cut. Darius Fountain just got cut. Like, these are other guys that have either been productive or have had the preseason hype around them, you know, in Kansas City. and they can't really stick around at a spot in the league after leaving Kansas City. Like, is that part of – could that be part of why we're seeing all these guys ball out? And just because the Chiefs system is so dang good. Andy Reid's awesome.
That's a fact. And, like, the only receiver that really cemented in their job would be obviously Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman. Outside of that, like Chris said, everybody else is just kind of rotating, floating through teams and going by and trying to find ways to stick on a roster, which is crazy. And I actually thought DeMarcus Robinson had a good chance of making the Ravens roster because he made a big play in the playoffs for them. Mm-hmm. He actually helped them out pretty substantially during that run when a lot of their guys went down. So it's always interesting to see how guys do outside of Kansas City, to see, like Chris said, was it the system or was it you? And I think certain players, it's their talent. Other players, it was probably like 70-30. Like, all right, you're a very productive – can be a very productive player, but the system you're in, the quarterback you play with, the offensive line, the offensive coordinator, the head coach, that has a lot to do with the way you do it. You don't want to discredit or take anything away from any player, but definitely you have to give Kansas City their flowers. We're doing it the right way. And a lot of fans, Chris, I always hear it during the week when we make a mistake. They're always complaining about the roster and this and that. And just not to throw in rain on anybody's parade or nothing, but we have rich people problems in Kansas City because you hear all these stories going on, like Trey Lance getting traded, Nick Bosa's not in camp, Josh Jacobs just showed up in camp. The Cowboys were debating, did they want to pay Zach Martin? And we're over here complaining about the Chris Jones deal get done. I'm like, yeah, I get the frustration, but when you look in your closet or you look on your wall and you see those two Super Bowl newspaper clippings, Chris, you can't get too mad, can you? So.
No, you can't get too mad at all. Last thing I do want to say on the receivers, though, real quick, is I do want to mention that last week when I was being devil's advocate about Rashee Rice, all of that is now the seems to be what the masses is thinking about. One game changed the preseason. So now I find myself on the other end where it's like, okay, the kid had a bad game. He had a really, really bad drop. Like, but let's calm down. It's funny how just a week when there's no other football going on, this fan base just switches. He's still going to be, you know, the fourth or fifth wide receiver on this team. He's going to get some opportunities. He's still going to learn. It just maybe after those first 2 weeks, the excitement is, you know, rightfully was a little too much for only two preseason
games. That's all it took, Chris, which is one drop.
Hey, it's a four. It's four through three games. So it is a little bit of a concern, but let's calm down a little bit.
It's always interesting. That same thing happened to Ja'Marr Chase with the Bengals. He had right. a drop issues that
exactly.
he balled out. So exactly. You can't put too much in the preseason, man. I'm not advocating for drops. I'm not trying to excuse him of his mistakes. I'm sure the receivers are holding him accountable in the receiver room during meetings, having him do push-ups and all those things to, you know, remind him of, hey, this is our livelihood, so catch the ball. So, but now, Rashee Rice is a good player, man. The attributes are there. The skill level is there. He's made plays over and over in practice, over and over in preseason. Has he had a couple bad drops? Absolutely. He'll be the first person to tell you he needs to be better. But as soon as he catches a touchdown in Arrowhead week one, Chris, or week two, or whenever he does, all those drops won't even matter. So,
even if he waits till the Super Bowl, like Sky Moore, like no one cares.
Exactly. make the next play, Rashee. That's all you can do, bro.
So, how do you want to do this, Roger? Because you got guys you want to go through each position group, or yeah, you got guys. So, like, I think quarterback, don't need to spend a lot of time.
I think we're good.
We got our three because of the rule now. Shane Bichelle is going to be that third quarterback, we think, but it's going to be him, Gabbard, and Mahomes. Running back's interesting because I don't think they're going to get a trade-off for Clyde. They may, but that hasn't happened. I haven't seen any rumors. So I think we're going to be on the same page as it's going to be Pacheco, McKinnon, Clyde. Yep. Who's getting that last spot? Because there's P. Ryan and Derek. Am I blanking on?
The Derek Prince.
Prince, yeah. They're kind of the option. You know, Prince is the young gun, and while P. Ryan has a little bit more experience, who do you think they go with?
The way it's looked through the preseason, like beginning of camp, we all thought it would have been Prince's job to lose. But
right.
after what we've seen through these first three preseason games of the season, you can't deny the work he's been putting on the film. So I got to give it to Michael Piron. And I know it's going to shock a lot of people because Prince was looking good. And obviously the clips we saw and everything he's doing in practice. But when the game tape comes on with Michael Piron, and he kind of put a stamp on his resume when he made that play with the screen and scored a touchdown versus the Browns on Saturday. So I think Michael Piron is definitely going to be that fourth running back. If not the active roster, definitely makes practice squad, but I definitely think he's the one that they decide to keep over Prince, for sure.
Yeah, I think I go with P. Ryan just because I think he flashed in the last game, not the last game, but I think they already got the young kid in the Pacheco. You can potentially get Prince on, you know, with how running backs are valued on the practice squad, and P. Ryan has that. Kind of like, he doesn't have the same experience as Ronald Jones did last year, but he's still more of a veteran, you know, than so I think that's where they go, P. Ryan. Andy Reid's not going to have a fullback for the first time ever, which is pretty exciting. We know about the wide receivers, the seven.
Yes.
You know, Justin Ross taking that last spot and all the other six that actually have, you know, big-ish contracts. Tight end is kind of a lot more interesting. This team used to be four.
Yeah.
Now there's a real argument for only two.
Exactly, facts. Because basically everybody, the injuries that have happened, so yeah.
Right, Travis and Noah, I still think Blake Bell makes this roster.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Because I think no one's going to say, and Travis has never shown any signs of this, but you have to be cognizant of his age and that what really matters is getting him healthy to January.
Facts.
And so if that's cutting, you know, 3 to 5 plays a game from him throughout the regular season, you're going to want someone other than Noah Gray. So that's why I don't think Bushman makes the team. I would have loved it. He was a great story a couple years ago. I don't think Bushman makes the team, but I do think Blake Bell makes this team.
No, I agree. I think once Jody Fortz's injury, unfortunately, prayers up to him as well, that he got knocked out for the year with the shoulder injury. I think that pretty much cemented Blake Bell's spot. I mean, they brought back Blake Bell for a reason. They loved him. They loved, obviously. He's a guy that's one of our better blocking tight ends. If we need to throw the ball to him, he can make plays as well. He's our emergency QB sneak, as Chris loves his favorite play in the Arrowhead playbook. So, yeah, I think Blake Bell's spot is pretty much cemented on his team. And I think it may be a situation to where they tell Blake Bell, hey, we're going to waive you, but we're going to shake your hand off camera. Hey, don't pick up the phone for anyone else, and then we're going to bring you back after just to pass them through so they can use that spot to make just secure someone else. But, yeah, I think either way, I think Blake Bell is definitely going to be a Kansas City Chief this year for sure.
Right. And if he's not, you know who that opens up more opportunities for?
Who's your guy?
Nick Allegretti. Get those heavy sets in there. You got to be the third tight end, Nick. Not only you got to be the backup interior lineup, you got to be tight end three.
And he catches touchdowns too. He's a weapon now.
Oh man, I just had
a playoff game. All right.
Speaking of the linemen, it's kind of interesting here too. You know, you got Donovan Smith, Tooney, Creed, Humphrey, Trey Smith, Juwan Taylor, Allegretti. Those six are like, I mean, not that the other, but those six are 100, 1,000,000% locks. The big question here is, do they keep Lucas Niang, I guess?
I think that is the big one. Because, I mean, coming into the season, like, obviously we know what Prince Tega did in his short. He came in an emergency situation last year. Had to play, like, a little split tackle moment for us. Obviously, they drafted Wanya, probably definitely pretty high at Oklahoma. And Allegretti's probably that center guard that can come in different situations. And it was supposed to be Kennard last year, the tackle we drafted out of Kentucky. He was supposed to be the emergency tackle in that situation. But I know Andy Heck mentioned this a lot, and he's pretty much – stay pat with that statement. He likes him more at guard than he does at tackle. So I think, yeah, the biggest question is, I think everyone else, like you just said, Chris, Creed, Joe, Trey, Nick, Juwan, and Donovan are pretty much locks. It's just basically, dude, how do they feel about Lucas? And he didn't really do anything spectacular this preseason to me that should, like, make you think, like, oh, we can't let him go. He has to stay. I think that's going to come down to Andy and Veach and how they feel about his progress and what does he offer to the team. So I know we really haven't seen much since he started, what, 2 years ago? Obviously, I would love for him to get an opportunity, but the injuries is just – we don't know the health status, only the Chiefs do. So, right. I think they're going to make a decision with obviously what's best for him and best for the team as well, for sure.
Right, and it is worth mentioning again on my guy Allegretti. He is hurt, and so he could be – again, he's they've been really weird on some of these injuries. I don't know the severity of it. I know it's a shoulder, which isn't – so, like, he may be a 53 to IR guy, kind of like what you were talking about with – you know, the reverse Blake Bell where he doesn't make that. But once you take someone like Allegretti, it opens up another spot open. So that opens a spot. That's like a guy like Darius Kennard's going to make the team. You need a more interior lineman. The Mike, I don't even know how to say his name. Mike Candelario or what?
I'm going to butcher it. I'm going to leave it to you.
Caliendo. Like, Caliendo. I think they like him. Out of nowhere, he was playing, getting quite a few reps. The Wyona Morris out of Georgia, third round pick, he's going to be on this roster. And then Prince, I always screw his name up too.
Prince Tega Wanohu.
Wanohu.
I got it.
Yeah,
I got it.
Nailed it. Nailed it. I think that kind of rounds out the offensive line. I think that honestly that Niang's going to make it just because it sounds like out of the few people that seem to be close to the situation that Allegretti's going to be probably put on IR. So I think by default, unless there's a trade partner, Lucas Niang's going to be on this roster.
Yeah. If his injury really is that bad, that's probably the open door that Lucas needs. And I love Lucas Niang. He would have been our starting right tackle 2 years ago. We're not even having him.
Right.
We wouldn't have to pay Juwan Taylor, but injuries are real. So, and that's how guys get the door open. When Jody went down and Allegretti and Nico Remigio, when we were talking earlier, when guys go down, the door opens for another player behind you to step up. So this is definitely an opportunity for Darian Kennard to see where he's going at and progress, because we're always thinking about the future, like Chris said, because we do have Joe Tooney's contract coming up in the next 2 years. So definitely see if they want to, you know, re-up his deal or try to find another guy, one of these younger guys, like you said, Kennard could step in and start if need be. I don't want that to ever have to happen. Like, I don't want guys to get hurt, but we know those are situations you have to think about. Just like we weren't thinking about L'Jarius Sneed missing in the AFC Championship game last year, but that's what happened, and we had to have those young guys step up. So these are conversations that we're having now. So if they do happen to come upon us in the regular season, knock on wood, but we're mentally prepared for those talks. So it's good to have them now and get them out the way.
Right, for sure. And let's kind of move and get to the defensive tackles.
Let's do it.
Chris Jones, yes, if he's ever reports. Otherwise, it does open up a spot because they'll have to use, what is it called? Like, there's like a reserve list. There's a special kind of list. I think it's a did not report list.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to use it, but we've been wrong on everything on this Chris Jones saga. So who the hell knows what's going to happen? Derek Nnadi, Turk Wharton. And it seems like that last spot's kind of between Shelton and Coburn. Is that kind of, I love Daniel Wise. Rock Chalk, baby. Like, that's my guy. That was my guy.
Baby.
He's had actually a pretty good preseason. He's not going to make this team. I just wanted to give him a shout out. but it kind of becomes down to Coburn and Danny Shelton. Who do you think has the edge in that last spot?
I believe it's Keandre Coburn. Obviously, Danny Shelton's flashed on film this preseason for sure. He's made a lot of plays. Mm-hmm. And given where he's coming, probably because the reason I've been in my eyes have been more on him, because I expected Coburn to come in and play well right mm-hmm. away. But I know Danny Shelton was considered, in my opinion, out of shape last year. A guy that was his first guy in the system. And obviously, second year being here under Spags and knowing what to expect from him mentally and physically, he made a lot of good plays this preseason. Obviously, they were against a lot of twos and threes. And him and Coburn kind of rotated and exchanged snaps. But I would think Coburn would make the team because I think they like what they see from him. He's a little bit more athletic, definitely mm-hmm. explosive. And there's definitely a way that you can keep Danny Shelton on the roster. It may not necessarily be your active 53, but if he's on – practice squad and be available to be called up just like he was last year. He's a pro. He's been here before. He's a champion. He's been on Super Bowl roster. So he know how this goes. You may not play half the season, but another half you may have to play. So as of now, I would say Coburn. What do you have?
I think that's the case too. I don't think Shelton – I like how big he is. I do like that he seems to be a little bit more in shape. I also think that he's not going to really love his role in Kansas City too much. I think he wants to be a little bit more impactful, and so I could see that being a decision on why they let him go and probably going to get snagged up by another team. That's actually what I think. I don't think he's going to be around for this on the roster, off the roster stuff again. I think he's going to go to another team, and so that would be where I predict
I agree.
Shelton. Let's get to the line, or excuse me, defensive ends. Almost skipped the pass rushers there. I think what we got – we got Kalafdis, we got Dana, we got Felix and Dika Uzama. Oh, real quick, I didn't even ask, how does it really work with Amenihu? He doesn't have to be, because he's suspended for 6 games, he doesn't go in this decision, right?
Yeah, so with this, I would think since he's suspended, how does he count towards the roster? He's suspension for 6 games.
So that would open up a spot. So you got Karlaftis, Dana, Felix, and then it kind of opens up if there's that Amenihu instead of one of Herring, Thompson, or Joshua Kando making the team. Exactly. Two of those guys are going to make the team.
Essentially, then one guy would have to be.
And then one guy is going to,
come down to practice. Yeah, I think it would probably be Malik Herring for sure. And out of. And I don't know, man, but it just hasn't hit, man. I know the story was good out of Florida State, number one recruit out of high school. It's just, it never popped on film. I think it would probably be BJ Thompson if I had to choose a guy right now today. And I love Kano for what he's tried to do here, but it just never really turned. It didn't, like, he has all the measurables, like the length, the speed, the get off. It just didn't really translate to anything on the football field. So With Aminu being on suspension for the first 6 weeks, I think it would, those two spots would be Malik Herring and B.J. Thompson for me. Those would be my two.
Man, I want to disagree with you. I want, but I just can't see them giving up on a fifth-round defense. I know they've done it with, like, Powell and other guys, but fifth round is still – you know, sixth and seventh round, you see guys. Fifth round, still where you see it happen occasionally, but for the most part, they get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And so I think Kando's had his opportunities. They spent a pick on B.J. Thompson, and so I think that he's going to make this team. Even though I'm kind of like you, I think I would prefer Kando over Thompson, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't. The way they've been using, the way everything you've seen out of camp, it just feels like B.J. Thompson's going to make this team.
Absolutely.
Jumping to linebacker. I know we're moving kind of quick. It's just kind of one of those things where, you know, people
have been, we know the roster guys.
Yeah, people have been beating this to death. So we're going to give our quick hits. Yeah. We're going to move it on to the linebackers. And I think linebacker may be maybe the easiest position on here. I kind of only think they keep four. I know a lot of people have been keeping five. But, I mean, Bolton, Gay, Tranquil, and Chenal are on this team.
Absolutely.
The Cochran kid, who seems to stir it up in practice with Kelsey every other time,
Jack Cochran, baby,
is people think are going to be on this team as a special teamer. I don't know. I think Chenal and even Tranquil to an extent do well enough on that front. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Cochran's going to make this team?
It kind of depends. Like, and it's like what we said earlier. Do they? And I think his spot kind of coexists with. Do you want to keep P. Ryan on the roster? Like, do you want that fourth running back, or would you rather have that fifth linebacker? And I think from a special team standpoint, I would think that Tobe likes Jack Cochran better, because obviously he's a guy that's naturally tackling. So if I'm going to have you on special teams, you're probably going to be on punt or kickoff and asked to make tackles. So LaMichael Perron is not necessarily a guy that you're going to ask to. I mean, if he had to do it, he would. But I think the four linebackers you said, Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, Leo Chenal, Drew Tranquil, are all locks. And if Jack Cochran had to come down, he's a guy I think that would be probably more suited for special teams, more so than a guy like LaMichael Perron. Not to say Perron can't do anything special teams-wise, because I believe he can, need be. But I think right now Jack would be more of a special teams fit for what you're asked to do, a lot of blocking and tackling and things of that sort. So I think he does make the team. Yeah, I got him.
See, it's funny. I think they're keeping four running backs. I think this spot comes down between him and Blake Bell, as weird as it sounds. Because I think, again, I think Niang, unless there's a trade partner, will take over or one of the linemen. It won't be Niang, but like one of the linemen will take over Allegretti's spot to the IR. And I think on the initial 53, the decision is between five linebackers or three tight ends. That's kind of how I see it playing out. And I've already said that I have Bell making the roster, so I had to have Cochran out just because of numbers wise. Otherwise, my math doesn't add up to 53 when it all is. Yeah. Even though there are ways to maneuver around Blake Bell, so you know it's probably not the most popular decision. But I think that there's enough value with Bell that I think that they're going to try to keep him on the 53.
Absolutely.
But anyway, jumping to corners. I think this one, again, is, you know, your first four are easy. McDuffie, Sneed, Watson, Williams. Those were the guys that were killing it last year. And then I kind of think this is one of the ones that's also easier. You could make case for Boodle, who's had some plays in the past and had a decent preseason.
I love Boodle.
But it sounds like Nick Jones' hand injury is not serious at all. Yeah. And he's going to be the fifth corner on this team.
Yeah. I think it's pretty much locked. Like, the only guys you could probably debate on who was that last DB was going to be. I'm going to butcher his last name. I know it's Khalif. Is it Halisi?
Yeah. Number, he was wearing 12 out there, right?
Yeah.
He flashed too.
He had an interception in that, Cardinals game and the Saints game. Sorry. Excuse me as well. So, and that's kind of, unfortunately, because like, obviously we've done spaces on Twitter and Nazi Johnson's mom talked to us a couple of times in the spaces. So we had a soft spot for Nazi. Yeah. Obviously he was in the, you know, the Fab Five and they drafted all of those rookie DBs last year. So we wanted him to be that fifth DB, that fifth corner for sure. But unfortunately, he went down with the injury, so he's probably going to miss the year. So I think that spot probably does go to Nick Jones, like you said. He played well, and obviously the hand injury isn't as serious as we thought it was. And him and Shamari Connor are low-key interchangeable because they can both play in the slot of DB and definitely play multiple positions. So, yeah, I think Nick Jones kind of rounds out that DB group. So they probably have nine guys and Nick Jones being a nine. So I think that's how it goes.
No, I think they're going to keep 10.
Who's that 1, 2, 3?
Because I almost put Connor in with the corners.
Because there? Okay.
I think they're going to keep Deion Bush. To kind of
you got Bush? Ooh, okay.
Kind of keep the I think that's where we're at with numbers, right? If we've been tracking, I know we haven't been.
Yeah, Justin Reed, Brian Cook, Mike Edwards, and Shamari. You want to do Bush instead of him, or you want to do five?
Six? No, I'm doing five. Okay. I think Connor's more of a. I don't think Connor's a true safety. I think so. That's why they have Reed, Cook, Edwards, and Bush, because it's kind of, you know, the starter and backup. While Connor and Jones are kind of going to be those floater guys, because I think those
are both,
yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at.
He's a great special teams guy, so yeah. If Toe likes him and he wants him on the team, right? And he came in and played minutes for us,
He played well last year for what he was asked to do, and then Mike Edwards back there is going to get a lot because they love their three safety set, so I think
absolutely,
I think that's how it's going to roll, and then you know, we can. Spend even less time on the specialists with Butker, Townsend, and Winchester. The same.
Hey, kickers and punters and snappers are people too, Chris.
Those are the three. Those are the guys. And so I think, I mean, you know, there's not a ton of decisions to be made.
Yeah. Like minor things. Like here or there is like one of the way 50-50.
So. One or one on a defensive line. One on one maybe on the running back room, and you know, a decision on linebacker, tight end. I don't know. I think secondary is pretty locked up. I think receiver is the most locked up of anything outside of quarterback. Yep. So,
but interesting to see, man.
Yeah, it'll be see who goes where and who makes the practice squad. Because again, a lot of talent on this team, which makes kind of this roster cut. So we want to make it a little bit bigger than it actually is, but you know, this team, like everything, always you got 1587 and Andy Reid, like. The other 51 can just fall into place.
Let's roll. Come on.
Oh, man. Last thing we did want to do, though, before we got out of here is, you know, we're going to spend next week talking quite a bit about the Lions and do the preview. So before we do that, we wanted to spend time on our bold predictions. I think we each got a couple guys that, again, we're going to preface this with, I don't know if this is something you're going to need to go to your FanDuel app and start laying bets down, but things that, like, you know, there's a chance you could actually see, you know, even if it's a small chance, like they say in Dumb or Dumber, what you're saying, there's a chance you can see it.
Exactly.
Starting on the offensive side, you got someone on the offensive side that you're going a little bold with?
My bold prediction, I don't know how bold it is, because this guy obviously had a great year. He ended very well for us. If he would have started off the season with the amount of reps that he ended with, I think this happens no-brainer. So my bold prediction is that Isaiah Pacheco ends the year with 1,500 all-purpose yards. Ooh. This is a guy who finished the year with obviously 1,000 rushing yards, like including playoffs. Mm-hmm. So post like only regular season only, I think he finished around 800. I think he finished with 5 touchdowns. So my bold prediction this year is Pacheco has 1,500 all-purpose yards and 10 total touchdowns for Isaiah Pacheco. I think he gets 10 this year.
That's one that you almost could go to FanDuel.
Absolutely.
I think about it.
It's kind of iffy because, you know, we got Jets.
There's a lot of depth, and running back health is weird. He's coming in the season, you know.
They may try to take it easy on him, so he may say, "No, you know, I'm ready, I'm good." So
I like it though. I mean, he's got the heart of the fan base already in a short period of time.
Absolutely, and I love our schedule. Not too many crazy defenses the first half of the year, so he can rack up a lot of touchdowns for sure.
He definitely can. He definitely can, especially once he cleans up that goal line stuff a little bit. Like,
absolutely. We got Chicago and Minnesota in the first couple weeks. Whew.
Yeah,
he can rack up those games.
For sure. I don't think mine is the reasoning, especially in mine, people aren't going to love. Because I'm going Noah Gray gets over 400 receiving yards this year and sees a big increase in targets. Nice. I don't think he's never broken 300 in here, if I remember correctly. And so I mostly it's because I think that Kelsey's going to see a decrease in snaps. And it's just, again, he's given us no reason to see that he's slowing down. Like, he hasn't seen a sign of it at all, but he's still 34 years old. Facts. And still the most important thing is him being healthy in January. So, like, even if he does, I'm not going to wait for Travis to give me a reason. He's still going to be out there on the plays you need him to in the big moments, like in the fourth quarter of a close game against the Bills or the Bengals or whatnot. He's going to be out there. But fourth drive in the second quarter, Noah Gray may be out there the whole time. You know, like, I can just see the snaps counting being reduced to kind of just, I would rather them take the precautions early than have to adjust for it later.
No, absolutely.
And so that's why I think Noah Gray is going to see an scaling targets. I think he's going to catch a few more touchdowns, a few more yards, and that's kind of where I'm going with my bold prediction, just to save little Travador for the postseason run.
Little Travador. Needed. This is what you got to do, though. You got to do it. If you want to last all the way until January, we really want to go on another Super Bowl run. Those little 15 plays here, 20 plays here can be the difference between that what so-called back injury he had before
exactly.
the pregame in the AFC Championship game versus the Bengals. So those snaps matter for sure. Definitely get Noah ready to make plays. And Noah's been ready for this moment anyway. Like, yeah, if need be, hey, Noah, go play the whole rest of the quarter. Could you do that? Yeah, he'd be
exactly.
fine.
So. Exactly. Take this drive, you know. And maybe when we get to the red zone, Travis comes out. But, like, from the 20 to the 20, Noah, you're out there for this second quarter drive or whatever.
Exactly. You know, just save Trav until like the bye week and then let Trav go full.
Yeah, time. Exactly. Exactly.
Let him get to week 8, bro. That's all we need.
So they've given us no inkling that they will do that, but they're normally ahead of the times. And so I think they see that age. I think it's something they could do. Like, so
Trav is going for the record, though.
So that may hinder those plans a little bit. But who you got on the defensive side?
My defensive bowl prediction this year will be, and I think I'm a year or two too early, Chris. I think this actually will happen. And like in 2024, 25, we're going to be having real conversations. So I'm going to be a little pre-unctuous with this. I'm going to say Trent McDuffie is going to be all pro.
Ooh.
13 or second team, either one. And I think this is going to be a legitimate topic, I think, in years to come. I think he's that good. I think he's that special. Mm-hmm. The footwork is there. He can cover guys in the slot or outside. He looked some of the best receivers in the eye last year and didn't blink. He stays in phase very well. Got his hands on a couple balls that he wish he could have picked off last year, and I think he actually finishes those plays this year. And mind you, he missed 8 games last year with the hamstring injury, so we didn't get him back till halfway through the season. So I think a full off season, the confidence he got from the playoff run, Spags obviously knows how good he is, so deploying him on the number one receiver since his first game back with us last year, I think that just lines up for a big year for Trent McDuffie. So all pro Trent McDuffie is my bold prediction for the defense this year.
I like it, man. I'm staying with that young secondary, second year player as well. I'm not going as high as all pro, but I think Brian Cook is a pro bowler this year. Ooh, and okay, cool. You know, like he's, if there's one word to describe, and a lot of guys get the one, but I think Brian Cook describes it the most. That man's a dog. Like he goes and he loves contact. And I think he made big plays down the stretch run, that pick in the AFC Championship of Burrow. Like he makes plays. He gets his hand on the ball. He's not afraid of contact. I think his second year in the system, second year playing back there with Reed and these other corners. Like part of it is that the AFC safeties are either thin or injury prone.
Yeah.
So it does open some opportunities for spots like that, where if he comes out and has a big season on a good team, that you could see number 6 flying around. He won't be playing in the Pro Bowl, but he'll have the honors next to his name.
Absolutely, you know? You get the alternate. What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of where I'm going with my bullet prediction, that you see a big leap from a guy that, you know, was a little bit at times, especially early, was a knucklehead. Last year, make a big leap forward and actually be one of those Pro Bowl caliber safeties. So
absolutely, that's how I feel about Trent McDuffie. I know Jalen Ramsey obviously went down for the Dolphins, so that's a guy that's usually one of those locks for like All Pro every year. So that's a spot that opened up. Right. And obviously Xavier Howard kind of took a little bit of a step back last year, so I'm like Trent McDuffie has some opportunities to, you know, possibly steal a second team All Pro, maybe even a first team. But I think he definitely has a chance to play that well for sure. And we have so many primetime games. We have the Bills at home, we have the Eagles at home, the Bengals at home. 3 games where he has great opportunities, all within like a 2-month span to prove, hey, I'm one of the elite corners, not only in the AFC, but in the National Football League. So I'm excited for him and Cook. This whole secondary, to be honest, but those two guys, I think, definitely take the big jump. And they have great vets, Mike Edwards, Legarius Sneed. So, yeah, those aren't – they're not even bold. I don't know why we even said this. I think nothing they're broken at. So.
I don't like that I'm bold. They a lot less bold than they could be, but, you know, it's nice on me. Maybe the bold prediction is Chris Jones shows up at some point. Maybe that's
Chris, just prediction. Pull up, please. God, I don't even care what you do, bro. I'll pick you up myself.
But maybe we can get into that. We'll have some more news on that next week. But I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Again, less than 10 days, getting close. CJ, before we get out of here, where can the good people find you?
You guys can definitely find me on Twitter at CGZ81, as it says on the screen in front of you, that Chris has done a great job producing. And you guys give clap it up for Chris. You're doing a great job of making this color theme chief. We're going to have something really cool for you guys next episode, so take tuned.
Hey, don't make promises you ain't in charge of.
Oh, not in charge of. Guys, I just ask Chris. That's what I do. I say, Chris, can we do this? He's like, oh, yeah, I got you. And then it happens. If y'all need something, y'all know y'all can holler at me. But you guys can always talk to me about football, fantasy. It's that time of the year, so I'm definitely in tune with like college football. You can never too early mock, Chris. So I'm definitely writing down notes in my phone. I'm such a degenerate, bro. Mocking. You can never mock early enough. So I'm writing down players for next year. So if you guys have some questions about roster makeup, fantasy football, X's and O's, bets, I just did my first draft yesterday. So officially, really football season when you do your first fantasy draft. So
this is my favorite time of the year. You are insane.
I'm crazy, bro. This is like I took a picture and I posted it on Twitter. I was like this, and I was like posting all four games I had on my TV. This is what my weekend will be like for the next 5 months. So I'm gonna be in front of a TV every day for the foreseeable future. So I'm super excited. This football season's back. Chris is my guy. Banner night. Chiefs are coming up soon. Chris, what can the people expect from you, buddy? You know I'm
hey. Hey, you know, I get it. You're hype. You can follow me on Twitter, 10penny88. You know, the football tweets are flowing in. There are also going to be some baseball tweets flowing in. I'm just going to be up front with you. It doesn't end until first week of November. So just roll with it if you want. But make sure to check out the Aftermath Twitter page as well for only football and Chiefs-related content at Aftermath. @aftermath_KC, putting out some polls, putting out some highlights and pictures and things like that. So make sure to check it out and retweet and share with your friends. But I think that's going to do it for us this week. We will talk to you next time.
Go Chiefs.